Stefan is programming language architect. So one of his babies we will see now in the new revision. So thank you for doing this talk and doing all that work. Stefan Sobering.
Thanks for having me now in the front row. This is obviously work that was started by Gustav Neumann, and I started contributing in my PhD time, so to say, right? And I'm still, as you said, it's our baby, yeah? We are also guilty, right? And we have to be blamed, right? Because we lack releases. We have heard this before, right? There was the board talk about, you know, maintainers not doing releases. So this is the talk.
I just checked, there's still in the 2.44.
Yes, there you go, there you go. So you have the main line. But this presentation also starts with code, right? So we load TIGFO and we load, oh, there you go. You see? Let's see. Can be fixed, luckily. So this is about where we want to go with NSF. You know, NSF is the foundation of what you know as XO, the XO verse, right? The exotical verse. This is the historical ancestor, but as exotical is a main infrastructure for many interesting application components in the OpenACS, Navi server environment, but also beyond. This is a pre-release node, right? In 15 minutes, maybe it's not 15, maybe it's 10 minutes. So where did it all start from? For those that are not so familiar, the Next Freedom Framework is a further development of what you know as Exotico. It's a language development framework. So it's not just about object-oriented languages like TIGFO or OOL or Exotico or OTIGFO. It has actually very nice and versatile features. I'm going to show an example just for ordinary TIGFO scripting, procedural scripting. Yeah. From an object-oriented perspective, right, it has a very versatile object system. Where you have very advanced object composition techniques involved, and there is a lot of nitty-gritty and tooling that you need for language-oriented programming. So there are certain forms of metaprogramming that are allowed, right? And introspection and reflection techniques that you can use. So this is where does this come from, right? This is all very research-driven. So here we are at WU, and when Gustav Neumann, so to say, received a call to WU, he also brought his research group with him, and in 1999, right, this was TIGFO 81 times, and also I learned the TIGFO's wiki birth time. The first paper was published by Uwe Sedun and Gustav Neumann. This was the first scientific appearance, sort of, so of exotic back in the days. There was the exotically without the X, the OTIGFO already in the TIGFO sphere, right? So there's a lineage here. Then in between, in these 10 years in between, there were many papers published by this research group back then about, as I said, these advanced object system techniques. In 2009, so to say, I contributed a first paper with Gustav. These were TIGFO 85 times. About this, what is now the Next Scripting Framework. This was done in the TIGFO's conference in the US in Houston back then. And then I also published a book then 10 years later, which is also very TIGFO heavy and exotical and NX heavy. It's about developing DSLs. In the 2022 instance of our user meeting, I actually presented it, right? The toolkit is called DJDSL, and the book, it was published by Springer. There's no Russian, no Chinese whatsoever translation I'm aware of. I wasn't sent some.
You don't know
some, I wouldn't know. I wasn't sent any copies of those. And I still have the 5 copies sold probably in my bookshelf. But this is a book I contributed. And you have also seen a talk by Michael Feuerstein right yesterday, where he has showed a few how he applies this, right? So it's not just about it's building experimental prototypes, research software, as we call it, right, to be used in empirical research. Yeah? So, and this is also where I'm still heavily interested in maintaining NSF. And so, what are these deployments that you have seen already? Also covered in the talk, Navi server is a strong driver, right, for NSF. Also, the Navi server comes in the binding, in the batteries, but also in many important integrations with the NSF. There are this family of XO packages that you know, and my and our research group research software that we develop. About releases, right? The Guild game, you see this timeline when we released. And we have had these five minor releases, if you want, over 10 years so far. And right there is the crystal ball. It says there will be now a 2.5 release, which is basically about also what Gustav Norman already announced, 9.1. There are some interesting feature additions, important improvements also, but it's 9.1, making NSF 9.1 ready and get the good stuff from 9.1 into NSF and vice versa. So, what are these noteworthy feature additions? So, this is a visual a release note, a little bit, right? So, what you can do, and this is, I think, a strong selling point still, I make these jokes about 8.5 and 8.6 being around, and everybody's pushing to, and you should go Tycho 9, right? But we know reality. So, if you have programs that use NSF or Exotical, right, then you can still use 8.5 and 8.6, and we still maintain this in a way, right, with some restrictions. And we can go through the lineage to 9.1 beta 0, so to say, with this new release, and NSF exotic scripts will just run out of the box. Gustav Norman added support for the Tycho Const that you're going to see in a second. We also have some replacements, drop-in replacements for Tycho basics, like the NSF proc. Harald said he wished to have named parameters. We all know the infamous TIP 457 flame war discussions back then. Yeah, sorry for this. You might have contributed a little bit, but now we have a proc solution that does just this. I'm going to see. There are some utilities that you can use to get the same into your scripts, even if you don't want to use procs, and some other nice features. So constants, as they are called here, right? What you can do is we load an X is the object-oriented variant, so to say, of NSF, or this main language implementation that we have, and you can create an object, and I was inspired by your various web client and WOP and Wibble and Wobble objects that we have seen so far. So this is my little wobbly client object, right, and you need secrets and base rules, so things that should be a one-time read-only probably value, so call it a secret, and you do so. And then you can ask this object, what do you have, right? We have the payload, the base array, and the secret. And you can also ask what are the constants, right? And if you get the constants, you can also, whoops, you get fast forwarded. There we are, right? So somebody wants to interfere and resets the secret, then it says const, right? So it's the const that you know from Tycho 9-ish, but it works now also in the context of objects, as we see, right? So this is a small and neat contribution. This is the promised named parameters. You can extensively discuss this, so to say, what there is. So we support named, and we have been supporting this from the very beginning of Exotical, non-positional name parameters. Now for methods in objects, but now also for basic drop-in replacement for Tycho procs. This is being used in Navi server and beyond also heavily. So we can have standalone procs. And they have two things. They have non-positional name parameters, and they can have specifiers. We call them value checkers, and these specifiers you see here. You can have a clear name, and the column notation gives you then a set of collection of specifiers. You can restrict the clear name to some, think of string is validators, alpha. You can declare name parameters are by default optional, right? But you can turn them required. We also have return value checking, right? So returns basically says this, the proc should have a certain return value that conforms to a certain, by whatever. It's not a type check. I wouldn't call this type checking or data type checking. It's value or type validation. Okay. So this is a small example that I came up with. Again, we have our maybe the TCT and key members, right? And they are the authorities here. And we can load this NSF proc, and then we can ask, given the user with the clear name Harald, and now ignore the case. you see that clear name and ignore case, they are in that sense non-positional, right? That you can by name place there in the argument order, you can replace the name. So this is what you probably get from the various flavors of name parameters. If you ignore the case, right, then we would get a feature, right? This is going to fail because Harald is not the dictionary key, because we, so this would be the problem. If we ask for a Rolf, right, Rolf gives us a very fancy UID, which is not an int, this is the return checker I showed, right? Yeah. There's also arg support in there, yeah, I'm not going to show this now. So it integrates also with the standard positional arguments. That you would expect to have in an ordinary tickle proc. There's introspection for this. Whoops, yeah. It's the same interfering. So introspect is like the info args equivalent here, but with all the nitty-gritty details, and you can also access the different parameter specification details using subcommands. All of this can also be used standalone, right? If you load NSF without any object-oriented extension whatsoever, and you want to have this flavor in your, say, custom-made lambda expression, lambda function, so to say, that you can also use it using parse args, which is the script-level exposure of this parameter machinery. Here you see the exactly same specification, and what it does in the current call frame context here, it then exposes these as the process variables. So this more or less gives you, with some penalty if you want, right? But it gives you more or less the same utility as the built-in named proc integration. So this is a strong point, so to say, if you want NSF without any OO, by the way. So here, we also have a small wrapper around the interpret command, right, and this is a small addition that we, in Tickle 8.9.1, this is about 9.1 readiness, right, safe interpreters have been cleaned up and actually turned safer than they have been before. This had some consequences, right? We were also loading interpreters with our NSF infrastructure, so to say, child interpreters, and we found out that we shadow some tickle commands, like proc, but also in C-level commands, to introduce our own behavior on top. And we found out some of them were missing in the safe interpreters now, right? And this made our extension broke, so this is also fixed now, right? So the safer interpreters are also NSF safer now, or useful in that sense. So here we create a safe interpreter, and we ask whether it's safe, and then we define some NSF proc, right, the one we've seen before, and then we ask, so what is the infamous, the background is that tickle unsupported functions are not available in safe interpreters anymore. This is what we found out just 2 weeks ago. We just see that we don't spoil, right? We don't spoil a safe interpreter with our own shadowed, unsupported, if you want. There was only one case, by the way, but just to show that this works. So there's a lot. So probably I'm running out of time, I would say.
That may happen to everybody.
Okay, thanks. So I get the 5 minutes. I wanted to share a few insights that we got from. So this was the script level. On the C level, Gustav Neumüller started actually 2 years ago with the 2.4 release, so to say, already to introduce most of the 9.1 9.0 changes, right? This in the command arguments or big data reform in the widest sense, and this has been continued here. Jan Wittmann was always a very kind supporter here, right? He always had NSF somehow in mind. Even in tips, I found this quote. He says NSF would have to be modified, and there's a reason to it, yeah, because we also use the internal structures of Tickle, the command structures, let's say, and they have gone through major disruptive changes, if you want. And luckily, we had a lot some compatibility defines and macros already available, plus the ones that are also announced for Tickle 9 and 9.1 extensions compatibility, and we try to merge these two. So we can say that we support this now, There have been, I did some statistics on the changes that we did. This is a very unlikely list of those things that, thanks to Powell's scanner that I started using at the beginning, that I produced this list. So we have these 25 public TSUN used in NSF that are affected by this major change, this tickle size type theft that is being used. And we have 5 public functions in some bundled extensions and experimental branches of NSF. This is a very unwieldy list, so I produced another unwieldy, whoops. Yeah, so I produced this little pie chart here, where we can see where the most changes were. These were the functions that we had to touch. Yeah? So it's basically the list and string and all tickle OB accessor and change functions that we had to do. This is the number of files where there were occurrences that we had to change. Okay, so but this I think reflects the impressions of most extension developers also, right? But in our case, we have many list operations, various places, string operations. Some noteworthy changes were also appended to OBI. We use it in the error locking and formatting branches in our code. So there were only 2 files affected, but these were numerous cases. Yeah? So what did we have to do there? Right, basically correct for these different range checks. The int max became now tickle size max, and then these kind of changes were affected. Right, but they have all been committed already. So this is a pie chart, a donut chart that actually says donut has been eaten. Okay, so donut done.
Well done.
Was tasty.
Yeah.
Other changes that are, so luckily there was a nice documentation, and also Gustav Hammer was in touch back then with Jan Nittmann, so we also use this the now refactored part, so to say, of this defined stanza that we use, which is pretty, for those that did some tickle C extension changes, we have to use these different defines and wrappers about existing, and we have to make differences here feature-wise whether we are in 9 and 9.1 or pre-9, right? And this is done here by a feature. In NSF, we also have other cases. Something harder to track was this change in the command structure. So this is a major reform, right? The command structure, the heart, so to say, of what the two command languages in the end about. Yeah? The commands, the C commands, they're represented this way in this structure, right? And in 8, up to 8.6, there were the internal function pointers that we used at all points, and we accessed them directly. Then there was this 8.7.9.2 longish intermediate period, right, where there were these big data changes in the numeric fields already introduced, but the command pointers, they were still, so to say, in the backward compatible, right? There was some wrapping around. And then with 9.1, right, we were hit because they were removed. Yeah, so we had to reflect this last step, which is also summarized in the tip. This is what was also done. And so we have this, you see here, we based on major and minor versions, we identify whether we're in pre-9.1 or pre, with all these cases covered, down to 8.5. And we also have a test array, a built array that tests our test suite against all these targets. Okay, so this is the main insight. About the diffs, what is to be expected from the too many? So here, this is the line of history, right, of our releases, and you see there is a downward activity. These are minor releases in a way, right? And this is the number of commit counts and file counts that were affected. But there was still a substantial change, right, needed to get this done over the last 3 years in many steps. Here you also see line changes in the sense of the additions and deletions in terms of the git diff perspective or patch diff perspective. And you see that between 9 and 9.1 and 9.0, so to say, these are the major changes that we now committed over the last half a year. But also over the last 3 years, there were many smaller improvements also covered. So, coming to a summary, so to say, we have some, this is an internal to-do list, yeah? So now I'm basically talking, having conversation with Gustav in the front row. We still have to discuss a few details, some memory checking that we do, some autocon field things, but we are confident that we are around. So if you check out the repository, then we have already prepared the release documents also, at least the revised drafts. And we have some to-dos, I guess, for any subsequent release. You can always check out also our next scripting site and get also a monitor of our building, of our build array, right? The tests similar to the GitHub Tickle core build array, also these main targets that we have. And now they are all green, right? Actually, I wanted to show that they're all green. Now again, it's hidden. Ah, they're all green, right? That's the most important message here. Many thanks to many community members. I wanted to give visibility also to those that use NSF and report, right? And some of them are in the room, some might be following remotely. Yeah, Nitmos has been very helpful. And also again, Mark Janssen. So I'm a user of Tickle Jupyter, this kernel, right? So what you've seen here is a presentation mode of this Jupyter with the Tickle extension. Therefore I can run basically, it's like literal programming. I can run Tickle scripts and I can produce these nice visualizations and so, right? I've talked about this before. So kudos to those. And finally, once 2.5 is out, we are going to go something, a nice place in Vienna. It's called XO Grill. Yeah, so XO is not going to be grilled, but it seems to be a very fancy and well-known burger bar. And for those that know XO, right, in Vienna, there will probably be, for the locals here and the VU team, there will be then an invitation, I guess. Okay, so thanks.
That sounds overwhelming.
Are questions at all?
Yeah. It's me as a sheep here. You will feel that. I'm still briefing us, thanks for that.
There is more, I think.
First of all, of course, it would be great to have this information for the Tickle panel yesterday, because there was a lot of course stuff and a lot of questions answered we in Tickle core have, and it's the same with TK Inter, and it is here. So we need more communication to each other to be more visible. What are the problems and what are the success stories? So Tickle 9.1 had a lot of internal structure change, and often that just happens and nobody from the main stuff doesn't recognize it. And I want to ask Stefan if it was done in the right direction, especially in the object system. There were Don Fellows and so on did a lot, and we just see it, but maybe most of the people in the main community don't understand what he's doing, and you are the experts and you're not so much present. So would be great to also stop other ticklers to say, no, here that is not helpful and so on. So that's also something. Yeah. So my question is, does Tickle go in the right direction from your point of view? The last editions from 9.0 to 9.1, was that good ideas or?
I think can I report as a Tickle C extension maintainer, co-maintainer, so to say. Whether the changes headed in the right direction, so this is something that has to be, so overall, yes, right? Some details, but the documentation and the release pace and the migration and transformation, or the transform steps in between, right? That there was this transition. 9.0, 9.1, and there's this clear path. It's clearly documented. There's a lot of help and support around, right? I think this was well done. Yeah. In that sense, organizationally, I think that was a good process from our very
Yeah. And in the context view,
n equals one kind of observation.
Yeah,
but there are
view?
More observations probably from Gustav Norman in another server context and other extensions that he's also maintaining.
Okay, good. Three questions. One.
I mean, Stefan was pointing something, but I mean, there were other things which were a surprise. They were simply broken and we didn't expect it.
Yeah.
But from the C-level API has changed the semantics simply. But it's a different story, and if we would have been more active watching what was discussed on Tickle Core, we probably would have found this before crashes. But anyhow, I just want to mention on the XO, I mean, a small story. I mean, one of the first larger presentations we made there was actually in Guatemala. And they were using also ExoDigital for various applications there. We had the ExoDigital tutorials there at university or whatever. And I learned there actually that for the people in Guatemala, the XO prefix was very normal. Because in the Maya language, XO means great. If you have a great car,
it's
XO car.
Super,
they
call
it
whatever
show.
It is. Yeah.
For them, this ExoDigital was completely obvious prefix that we used.
Big success for XO. Question
okay.
Machine.
First thing is about Mr. Nightman. In Dutch language, IK combination is pronounced as I. So it's not
okay.
Nightman, it's Nightman.
Nightman. Okay. Thanks for
that.
Sorry.
And the other thing is about I saw with the Swiftin framework that if there are some local variables or variables of an object defined, then you use a colon prefix for this. Could you just give a short explanation what this colon prefix was doing?
So something that is not unique to NSF, and so we use the command and variable resolver infrastructure in TICO,
mm-hmm.
one of the very few, but it was inspired by ITICO back in the days. They also used this for different purposes.
Okay,
in critical. But there was an extension of the using them, and we use the colon, so internally, right, in TICO you have this command and resolver. Whenever there's a, statistically speaking, a command or variable lookup, you have a callback infrastructure that you can, as an extension writer, add your indirection to, and then you can have then you have, so to say, a first hand or preference over the built-in resolution mechanism, and you can inject your own. So the colon here means what in TICO or O would be my, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so this means that I need a secret and object variable of this object client, right? It's a shortcut form of mine.
Two colons is global.
One colon. This was the inspiration originally.
And without a colon, it's just a procedure of local variables.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
And this would also work for command resolution
mm-hmm.
command calls, right?
Ah,
so
okay.
Colon whatever
mm-hmm.
Would then be a call to a object specific method or object procedure. If you want.
Okay. Thanks.
Wolf.
First, this is not so much a question, but an observation. I think it's the consequence of the command structure changes that you have to build with TICO 9.0, TICO 9.1 separately.
Yes.
You cannot load TICO
yes.
9.0 build extension into
yes.
TICO 9.1, which is a bit unfortunate. You could do build with 8.5, load it in
8.6.
So this is a consequence that was clear to the people doing this, but the question here is how disruptive is this for new use cases? Well, we have to communicate that in this case we have to build with an appropriate version if you load it.
Yes. So I think that's the. I wouldn't consider this. Yes, it's a clear disruption, so to say, yeah, from existing
so
practice.
Theoretically, we should have released 10.0.
I mean, promise to say that for ExoDigital NX it's not a problem because ExoDigital NX is not a normal digital extension since we're using the digital turtles.
Yes.
Yes.
Putting around the digital turtles.
So the blame game is on us.
And also for the OpenSS Lavi server, you get a package where it's built with a certain version and people don't care. I mean, the user don't care because it's just in this environment everything is built with the matching. We do not have, let's say, binary.
Incompatibility is not a problem for you.
No.
Okay.
But it's pretty unique to this kind of language extension. If you have more smaller, let's say, OpenSSL extension, whatever, it would hurt us.
Okay.
Georg,
a
question about the language itself. Is there some possibility to transpile this NX code to TICO or would the export of
all of this, from a language engineering perspective, all of this is TCL, right? So we don't invent our own syntax. We don't. What we do is sort of say that we add within the syntactical, also the abstract syntactical structure, we add a slightly different behavior and additional sort of say a functionality. In that sense, all of this is valid TCL. What is interesting, maybe to think about what I did in the past, is also the question that there's TCL0 in the core, and then you have these object-oriented extensions. So there are certain interesting ways to make these two object systems speak to each other, right? So that you have code that is OO, but you also want to use it in your NX program or exotical program, vice versa. There's something I did in the context of TCL-lib, so maybe Andreas remembers many years ago. Some grammar processing and syntax definition. So there I use TCL0 structures as from an X and vice versa. This is an interesting. There is no transpilation or transpilation or anything needed, transformation needed, but based on TCL level language integration, right, you can make these two worlds speak to each other, so to say. That's maybe the only.
Any other questions?
If this is relevant. For
great. If, for example, my dream is to have the positional parameter stuff in the core, and it's always a point of byte compiler.
Mm.
So now you are, I would say, outside of the byte compiler, you're
no,
not
no.
able
no, no,
to.
No, no, no.
You use the byte compiler.
You use the byte
Everything
compiler.
Is byte compiled.
Yeah, of course, but you are not able to add new tokens
yes.
or something
yes.
like that.
But we wouldn't need to. For this infrastructure as it is, so to
yeah.
say, it's not affecting the bytecode engine or
okay.
bytecode machine.
But also, according to the bytecode, I mean, maybe some of the older articles here, remember that I wrote 10 years ago a mechanism to extend the TCL bytecode for extension.
Okay.
And I added their implementation, taking the normal TCL bytecode and make this number of instructions extended with
yeah.
own code,
yeah.
And added there for the self and the I think also command resolver there
yeah.
to do sample commands, and actually every extension could use this mechanism.
Yeah.
But at this time, I think the reaction from the TCL core team was, "Ooh, this is cool. What he's doing here, actually." But we want to be free. We do not want to have extensions messing around with our internals, because we want maybe change externals completely, then we are blocked by this kind of. I mean, and it's the advantage there was the range of, let's say, I think 20% in some cases. It was not really
yeah.
a huge improvement, and certainly depends on what you're using there. I mean, of
yeah.
course.
Okay, from the TCT, I can pass a message that perhaps there's a right time for ideas, which was before seen critical, and perhaps the right time is now.
So, bytecode engine, yes, I'm
yeah.
supporting this.
Yeah. Okay. Great work.
Yeah.